You know, God will finish a good work in each of us that he has started. He will. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Rod Hembry.
I'm Janice.
And this is Bible Discovery. We are discovering the most important book of all, the most published book of all, the Bible. And as we do so, we're going to look at Philippians chapter 1. That's interesting. We're going to focus on this and hear what it says in the first 18 verses. What a fascinating time to study in 3 minutes' time. Corey is here as well with Ryan. Corey?
Well, the book of Philippians, which was originally a letter, is one of the prison letters of Paul. So we're going to be focusing on that group of prison letters. Ryan?
Well, today I'm going to be reading an article that my grandfather wrote on the book of Philippians.
All right, very good. Look forward to that as we study that. Janice, what are you doing?
Today I want to talk about Paul's opening prayer.
All right. Take your Bible, guy. Turn to today's passage. Let's go to Philippians 1 and listen to what the Bible says.
Philippians 1, 1 through 18. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 18.
You know, this is interesting. Philippians is a fascinating place. Philippi is an amazing city. And Paul talks to the people. Paul wrote a lot of these letters, and he talks to the people. Now, the book of Philippians has a very different tone to it than the other New Testament letters that are written by Paul. Paul is not confronting the church at Philippi with any major sins or combating false teaching. He is writing to encourage them. Now, his main encouragement revolves around them continuing in unity with one another. He writes that their real unity in purpose and in truth comes only through Jesus Christ. Philippians 2 begins this way, quote, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any one of the Spirit, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being on one accord and of one mind. That's the first two verses of Philippians 2. Now, this is a timely message for us, too. We live in a tremendously challenging time where everything around us threatens to divide us. Division is a big deal. But God is the greatest source of strength. Let's remain in His love and express His love to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, this is important today. We need to remember this today. I mean, a lot of people are fighting about this left and right and everything else and jumping all over everybody and saying this and saying that. But believers in Jesus Christ have something else, not in politics, not in the social clubs, not in the economy. They have in the spiritual, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ transcends all of the others and makes us one. Very important to remember that. Take your Bible guide. Turn with me to today's reading passage. This is Philippians 1, 18 verses here. And if you don't have a Bible guide, you can write to us or call us or go to BibleDiscoveryTV.com. And when you go there, it takes you to a place you can download it exactly how we printed it. Father, I pray today as we look at these 18 verses, help us to hear your word and apply them to our heart. In the name of Jesus Christ, and we said together, amen and amen. Now, let's focus on this. Philippians chapter 1, 6 verses here. It says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now think about that. What is he saying? God will finish the work in each of us that he has started. God will finish the work in everybody he has started. We are God's people. He is faithful to finish what he has started in our lives. Very important to hear this. People who have gone astray, people who have lost their way, God, we trust in the work of God. He is faithful. You know, we can escape by letting go of God, because when you hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ when you're saved, that's good, and you let go of God. But remember, God's hand is strong. He never lets go of you. Very interesting. Okay, let's read on. It says here in verse 7, just as it is right for me to think this of all of you, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you with all the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is amazing. You see, beloved, when we focus our lives to serve the Lord, we tend to bear fruits of righteousness. When we focus our lives to serve the Lord, we tend to bear fruits of righteousness. How we live determines how we love. If you want to know how someone lives or believes, look at how they treat each other. Look at how they love. Very, very important. And when I talk about love, I mean 1 Corinthians 13, we've read about it. Love never fails. But we need to keep our minds focused on God's love. Very important. All right, we got to read on. Verse 12, it says this, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and will give rejoice, and will rejoice." This is amazing. Christ's salvation is preached. No matter our motivation, the message of the good news is propagated around the world. The message of, what is that good news? What is that? There's something wrong with the world. It's sin, S-I-N. It's real. And it happened back 4,000 BC. It happened. But God's made provision for it. Jesus Christ came and died for the cost of our sin. And he rose from the grave miraculously. Nobody helped him. And he went to God, was glorified, all of that. And we saw him. Very important. Keep that in mind. Because if we invite Jesus Christ into our life, say, "Lord, forgive me. I believe you died and rose again. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Amen." He will change us.
All right, so today you and I are going to be taking a look at the group of New Testament books, which of course were originally letters, that are known as the prison letters of Paul. And I mean, that is what it sounds like. Paul wrote some of his New Testament letters from prison. Take a look.
The Apostle Paul continued his work even while he was imprisoned for his faith. Several of his New Testament letters were written from prison. While the specific time or place of imprisonment is not mentioned in the letters, the fact that Paul was writing from prison is mentioned, and there are several factors that can be added together to create a sort of loose timeline for the writing of the books. Philemon, Colossians, Ephesians, and Philippians have traditionally been seen as coming from Paul's Roman imprisonment, written about in the end chapters of Acts. Furthermore, Philemon, Colossians, and Ephesians appear to have all been written in the same period of time. Ephesians and Colossians are linked by the mention of Titius as their letter carrier. Colossians and Philemon are linked by Paul's list of five companions, the same in both letters. Furthermore, greetings are sent in both Philemon and Colossians to a certain Archippus, a member of Philemon's household, leading to the conclusion that Philemon was from Colossae. With Ephesus being the closest major city center to Colossae, it would have made a lot of sense for Paul to send these three letters by the same letter carrier, Titius. The book of Philippians is traditionally seen as also being written from Paul's Roman imprisonment described in Acts, due to the mention of the Praetorian Guard and of Caesar's household. Philippians is also dated after the writing of Philemon, Colossians, and Ephesians, due to the more somber tone adopted by Paul when referring to his incarceration. This tone may have been caused by the sheer amount of time that his case had gone without being dealt with by the authorities in Rome. The majority of Christian tradition informs us that Paul was eventually released from this first Roman imprisonment. The book of 2 Timothy, then, is attributed to a second Roman imprisonment of Paul during the persecution of Christians by Emperor Nero, the imprisonment that would eventually claim Paul's life.
So there we go. I think it's really, really interesting and also important to remember the Apostle Paul's difficulties. He draws attention to those difficulties here in the first chapter of Philippians to help the church understand what's going on, and that it's for the furtherance of the gospel, and it's for the glory of God. It's for building the kingdom. You know, there would have been an element of cultural shame that came with, you know, one of the main proponents, one of the leaders, one of the apostles of Christianity being in prison. But that was par for the course for Christianity, because they served a crucified God, a crucified Lord, which to the culture of that time was ample, you know, reason for them to mock Christians. But in reality, it was a beautiful display of God's love towards his creation and towards his children. So, you know, acknowledging these things is good for us. And reminding ourselves, especially when we come from a culture that's more accepting of Christianity, it is good for us to remember that it is not a bad thing to be made fun of for believing in the truth. It has a way of skimming off the things that don't matter and helping us to really, really latch on to what is true and what is worth us sacrificing for. And our relationship with God and our allegiance to the truth is worth sacrificing for.
Yeah, and I think to remind people, too, that we worship God who was crucified, but a God who rose again.
Absolutely.
So that's the key here. He rose from the dead. That's very important to remember. And it says he rose from the dead in the flesh. Mm-hmm. Now, there is flesh in heaven.
Yeah.
Because there's Jesus' flesh. And it was John, the apostle, who said, who was weeping because nobody was worthy to open the scrolls in Revelation. We'll get to that. And the elder says to him, listen, there's the Lion of Judah. He turns and sees the Lamb as if it's slain. Mm-hmm. That's important. The Lamb as if it's slain. Very, very interesting. All right. Anyway, we're going to go on too far here. Make sure you get on the list for the Bible guides. And if you want a Bible guide, we'll send it to you every month. It's very good. They're all new material, and we study the Bible new next year. So make sure that you get on the list. Okay. Ryan, go for it.
All right. Well, today I wanted to read an article that my grandfather wrote. Now, if you didn't know who my grandfather was, he founded this ministry in 1990. And so I just wanted to read an article today that he wrote, and he entitled this, To Know Him. And he said, several years ago, a famed orator traveled through North America giving concert readings. After each performance, he asked the audience if they had some special poem or reading they would like to hear. On one such tour, a lady asked him to quote the 23rd Psalm. In his rich, theatrical voice, he read the beautiful psalm. The people clapped madly, demanding an encore. Again, his voice swelled as the words of that ancient hymn poured forth. After the crowd had quieted their wild applause, the orator said, "The man who was my pastor when I was a child is here tonight, and I want him to come and quote this psalm." An old man, leaning heavily on a cane, made his way down the aisle. When he reached the podium, he began in a cracked voice, "The Lord is my shepherd." When he finished, no one clapped. Tears ran unashamed down people's faces. There was a reverent silence in the auditorium. After an embarrassed silence, the orator again spoke. "Do you know the reason you clapped when I quoted the psalm, and when he quoted the psalm, you prayed? It's because I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd." In our devotions, we're going through the rich truths of God's word. However, these truths are merely words on a page until we know the Good Shepherd. When we know Christ, his word comes alive and stirs our souls. To know him is everything. This is why Paul yearned to know more and more about Jesus. He wanted to know Christ not only in the power of his resurrection, but also in the fellowship of his sufferings. To know Christ is to live. Pray today and in the days to come that you may know him. Like the songwriter, let our hearts cry, more about Jesus, let me learn.
It's very, very important that we hear that. Do you know Christ? Do you? Do you know the Lord? He's right here. He's in our presence. He's in our presence. If you want to know Jesus Christ, it's very simple. You simply understand that you're a sinner, because I'm a sinner too. Rod Hembry, I'm a sinner. And you're a sinner. He did something about that. 2,000 years ago, he came. He lived a perfect life. He was the only begotten Son of God, born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14 tells us. And he turned around and we crucified him and killed him. But you know what? 3 days after he was dead, miraculously, he rose from the dead, and he was seen by over 500 men, according to the book of Acts. Let me tell you something. He said, go into all the world and preach the good news, that if they invite me into their life, if they believe that I rose from the dead from the cross, I will forgive their sin, and I will make them right with me. I will cover their sin. Pray with me and say, Jesus, I believe you died and you rose again. I need you in my heart. I need you in my life. Help me, Lord, forgive my sin. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, I pray this. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, write to us or call us or something, because I want to tell you something. Get in the Bible. Start reading the Word of God with us. And when you do so, God will help you and grow you. It's very, very important, because now you know the Savior. Now you know the difference between the words and the one who gives the words. Very important. Okay, Janice.
Thank you, Ryan, for reading that from your Grandpa Ron's notes. And isn't it so true that everything changes when you know the Shepherd? Mm-hmm. Everything changes. And you know, you can hear it, you can see it in a person's life. And when you know the Shepherd, his word does just change you. And I think about a lot of times when we hear big Hollywood stars, or maybe Nashville stars, who will take a hymn, an old hymn, and they will sing that hymn. And you can tell the difference between those who know the Shepherd and those just who can sing really well. And I always like to tell people, God doesn't listen to the notes to make sure that we're singing the right tone, the right pitch, the dynamics of the song. God listens to our heart. And our praise and worship should be to the Shepherd. And so again, Ryan, thank you so much for that. Paul's opening prayers. I love his letters written to the churches, because a lot of times he says the same thing. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and give you peace. The word grace, it's undeserved blessing that comes from God. You know the song, Amazing Grace? That is the amazing grace of God. It's undeserved blessing from God to us. Peace is well-being and contentedness rooted in the good news and brought about by the Holy Spirit of God. These qualities are gifts from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you take a look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives when we know the shepherd and decide to follow him with our lives. This fruit will grow in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That passage ends with, "There is no law against these things." It really is, Rod and Ryan and Corey, a privilege to know the shepherd.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And you cannot know the shepherd without being changed.
You can't. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, and faith. Everything that you said is so true. And we can live that, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. Mm-hmm. He lives through us. And so he takes our whole life, but he takes us, and we are less seen, and he is more seen. Mm-hmm. And that's really important. And that's what God wants to show the world now. Wants to show more of himself. So keep that in mind and keep focused on his word and let him shine through you. Thank you for joining us today as we've studied this. It's been fascinating. Philippians is amazing. Now, we're going to do more of this tomorrow, but if you need a Bible guide, remember you can write to us, call us, or go to BibleDiscoveryTV.com. It does cost us money, so I would appreciate any gift you can give. Would help us tremendously. Thank you so much for that. Let's pray, you and I, together, and let's join. Father, today, help us to hear and act on your word. In Jesus' name. This is what we pray. Amen.